Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, this is Blasco from the Ozzy Osbourne Band, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, what's up? This is Gumby from Battlecross, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal, August 7th, 8th, and 9th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau, featuring Slipknot, Faith No More, Korn, and Alexis on Fire. 3 full days of rock and metal with Lamb of God, Iggy Pop, NoFX, Lita Ford, and many more. Festival passes on sale now. For the full festival lineup, visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Evenco.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 537 of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel, and I'm so psyched you are here listening to the show with me, hanging out with me, doing a hang. So yeah, all good, all rock, all metal. We got some great guests, Blasco from the Ozzy Osbourne Band, and Gumby from the band Battlecross. Gumby is the vocalist of Battlecross. They are on Metal Blade. That's their label. They got a new record coming out. He's going to tell us all about it. So first off, let's get right into the interview with Blasco from Ozzy Osbourne's band. He is the bassist in Ozzy's band. This is him on bass on this song, 11 Silver. It's from 2007's Black Rain record. Great overlook song. So much good stuff on the Scream and the Black Rain record that I think a lot of people overlook and don't really pay much attention to sometimes. And they should, because they're great, great records, both those records. On that note, here's the music, followed by my interview with Blasco. 11 Silver by Ozzy Osbourne.
Should be dead, yeah. This desperation makes
Hey guys, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line from Ozzy Osbourne's band, we have Blasco checking in with us. How are you, Blasco?
What's up, Mark? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet, man. You know, we all know you as the bassist in Ozzy's band. You've been with Ozzy for a while now. But one interesting thing that I'm not sure a lot of people, you know, outside of the industry know is that you are very involved with managing bands. And I wanted to talk to you about and ask you about how you got into managing bands.
Right. Well, it was a it was by design for sure. This is going to sound, you know, a little odd, but it was the reality of actually whenever I was transitioning out of Rob Zombie's band into Ozzy's band, right?
Right.
And for me, as a bass player, I'm, you know, I since it was like, you know, I sort of climbed the hierarchy of heavy metal bass players, right? So it started kind of with Prong and then went into Danzig and then went into Zombie and then went into Ozzy, right?
Right.
So hired gun bass player guy, like I get paid to, you know, make a record or go on tour, but like I'm not part of the overall income stream because I'm not a partner in it. I'm just the employee, if you will. So that being said, when I reached the pinnacle of getting the Ozzy Osbourne gig, I kind of had to take a real, you know, honest look at my situation and be like, well, this is where the ride ends. You know, this is the end of the line in that I've reached the peak of the mountain, right? My goal as a bass player was complete. There's nowhere left for me to go other than like AC/DC or Metallica, and both those gigs seem pretty spoken for, right?
Right on.
So I had to go like, well, you know, I'm not getting any younger. Eventually Ozzy's going to retire. You know, I only get paid whenever I'm working, and, you know, he goes back and forth between Sabbath and whatnot. So there's moments whenever, you know, I'm not working as a musician. So, you know, I had to really kind of figure out what I wanted to do on the downtime, but something that could be flexible, right? So it's like I either had to, you know, be a tattoo artist, or I had to learn how to cut hair, or, you know, some flexible kind of job that I could take with me. That no one would miss, you know, like back in the day, like whenever I worked like retail or had some crappy job, right? If I went on tour, I'd have to quit that job and find a new one whenever I got back. Which, you know, it's fine whenever you're in your 20s, but, you know, going into your 40s, that's not going to be all that realistic, right?
Right.
So I had to figure out something that was going to be flexible that I could take with me. I knew that I still wanted to be in the music business. You know, I knew that I still wanted to be a part of this, and I still had a passion for music and being involved on the business side of it. So, like I said, so by design, I thought about a couple of options. You know, do I want to be at a label? You know, do I want to like be a producer? Like, you know, an engineer? Like all these things just kind of felt like I was just going to potentially end up being, you know, an employee of someone else again. And I really kind of wanted to be entrepreneurial and start my own thing. So that's what I did. I kind of logically looked at what was in front of me. What can I do? You know, I don't have to have a degree of any kind to start managing bands, right? I just have to find bands to manage, you know? So, you know, out of the gate, I was lucky to, you know, find a couple of artists to work with, and that kind of planted a seed, and then it just kind of rolled from there, you know, and stuff. So in a lot of ways, I put in a lot of hard work, and in a lot of other ways, I've been lucky enough to, you know, find good bands to work with and you know, sort of built it, you know, based my career off of a good reputation and, you know, as being a hard worker and someone that people respect in the business. From being on the musician side, you know, but as well as then transitioned into the business side. And I started the company over 10 years ago. So it would have been like, you know, it's about 10 and a half years now. I started the company. And, you know, knock on wood, man, I'm fortunate to say that it's done exactly what I wanted it to do. You know, that doesn't always work out, but I've been fortunate in that regard.
Now, I remember back probably almost 10 years ago, maybe not quite 10 years ago, I guess it was like 8 years ago, you were managing In This Moment. What were some of the other early bands that you took on the management duties for?
Well, the very first band was a band from Southern California called Mantis. And they were the runner-up band in a TV show called Battle for Ozfest. That was, I think it was on MTV, maybe it was on VH1. I don't really remember. There was only one season of it. But the premise of it was that they put a bunch of bands in these sort of survivor-like situations.
Yeah, and I vaguely remember that show. Yeah.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, the band that won got the beat on Ozfest that year, right? So this Mantis was the runner-up band. You know, they didn't get to do the Ozfest, but, you know, there was still some visibility to them and whatever, just because of the association with, you know, the Osbournes and everything. We were able to kind of grind it out with them as being our first band. And then I had a slew of things that were probably relatively off everyone's radar. There was a band called Burn in Silence that I picked up from the Boston area. There was another band called The Banner that was from New Jersey and stuff. But just like anything else, you know, just like, you know, whenever you first start out playing in garage bands or, you know, getting together with your friends to form your own band, you know, you've got to, it's all a learning process, you know, this was like every other learning process. You know, I had to have some experimental stuff to kind of cut my teeth on and whatnot. But in that, the guitar player of Burn in Silence, he turned me on to this band that was also in LA, and they had a pretty hot MySpace page at the time, and their demo of songs was pretty cool, and that ended up being In This Moment.
Right.
And I went and met them and saw them rehearse in their public storage unit. And we just built a relationship, and I started working with them, and I worked with them up from the inception. I got them their record deal, you know. I built it up just like how you're supposed to do, and I ran with them through the course of their their first three records, and that really helped you know, establish myself, because, you know, that was their a successful band now, but they were even a successful band even from, you know, its early inception. So that certainly helped to plant my flag. But then the one that really kind of solidified it for me was when I picked up Black Veil Brides, and that really helped solidify is that I can take something from nothing like I did with In This Moment or Black Veil Brides and really develop it into a real real living, breathing, you know, sustainable band. And stuff. And then over the course, you know, of time, I've picked up, Black Label Society and Zach Wilde in the process. And
right.
I manage Devil Driver and Cold Chamber and Butcher Babies and stuff. So I've got a pretty solid, you know, roster of stuff that, I'm very confident with and that I feel, that I feel really happy about. So, like, once again, I'm just fortunate enough that, you know, my plan all worked out. I'm lucky in that regard.
And, you know, being connected with Ozzy, did you ever talk with Sharon about management styles? Did she ever offer you any advice on how to manage?
I never really got into it. It's funny though that I did ask her one time why she stopped managing, and her answer was Billy Corgan.
Really? Wow.
So I just thought that was funny, but no, we never got into it really. But it's cool though that to have that person of her caliber there to lean on if I ever needed to, and she helped me out too. I mean, out of the gate, you know, she enabled us to work with Mantis, and then whenever I had In This Moment, there was an Ozzy Osbourne Rob Zombie tour. And she put In This Moment as the opener in that, you know. So, you know, in this moment has played Madison Square Garden on their very first tour. You know, not a lot of people can say that. So yeah. I certainly owe that. I owe that all to her. You know, she put them on a couple of Ozfests and stuff. So she really helped in this moment, me and in this moment, you know, plant our flag and establish them and put them in front of really big audiences really early on, which is, you know, something that, you know, it doesn't always happen. You know, we're always all, you know, kind of battling and fighting for those, you know, few illustrious, you know, especially nowadays. Like think of it now. Think of a band going into arenas, you know, like that is so few and far between these days, you know?
Right on. Yeah. I was at that Madison Square Garden show. That was a good show.
Yeah, totally.
Let me ask you about Rob Zombie. You're obviously a part of his history. You played on, I think, 3 records by Rob Zombie. How do you look back on your time with Rob, and do you have a favorite record that you worked on with him?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I certainly look back on that time. I mean, because look, man, it, like I was working in a used clothing store whenever I got the phone call to meet up with him and talk about being in his band. So I got to be honest, and I got to say I owe everything to him, and in terms of building my career, because I don't feel that I would be where I'm at now if it wasn't for the opportunity. Because being in his band provided me the opportunity to really build my own brand as a bass player and as a, you know, as a valuable person in the industry. And by being with him, that put me in front of the Osbournes on multiple tours. And so whenever they were looking for a bass player, I was one of the guys that got that call. Not to mention, I learned a lot from him in my management, you know, world and business. I refer a lot back to him and how he runs his business. And I learned, you know, in the 8 years that I was with him, I mean, I got to say that there was a lot of observation that I was doing that I still pull from to this day. So, yeah, I mean, I have very fond memories of that time period and certainly very, very appreciative of him giving me the opportunity, because like I said, I don't feel that I would be where I'm at if it wasn't for that, you know, for that time period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you've done 2 records with Ozzy, Black Rain and Scream, which I think are really great records. And Ozzy's catalog is just so intense and so awesome. Do you feel that those records maybe have sometimes gotten lost among all these, you know, legendary records like Blizzard of Oz and the Sabbath stuff and No More Tears? Do you feel that they got the due that they deserve?
You know, it's tough. Whenever you're a guy like him who's got the 30-plus year career, it's just inevitable that whenever you get to the later records, and it's just those just become like relatively unknown in comparison to the peak time of their career. Now, I'm referring to like AC/DC or Aerosmith or, you know, the Rolling Stones and, you know, Ozzy too. It's like, you know, you have those epically long careers where you've got these really high peak moments, and just on the tail end of your career, just things just inevitably start to peter off, you know? I mean, I think this will be like for AC/DC, this will be probably like the first record that maybe doesn't go platinum, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's not a bad record, you know? They're still going on tour, and I mean, fuck you, they're not even playing arenas anymore. They're playing stadiums.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And stuff. But it's also the state of the business, you know? I mean, records just don't sell anymore, you know? So is it unfortunate that these bands that are still putting out records of value but just maybe don't get the attention they deserve because for whatever reason people just aren't paying attention to it anymore? I mean, maybe it's just that demographic of people, like they've moved on with their lives and they're just like FM radio type people that put on the classic records, you know, and that's just where it's at. And they kind of don't grow because they've gotten so far in their own lives that it's just not where they're at, you know?
Right.
And the younger generation, they're into their own shit, you know? Like whenever I was a kid, man, like, I wanted Kiss records, and my parents wanted me to listen to their Joan Baez and Peter, Paul, and Mary records. But that was their generation. You know what I mean? I'm one of my own generation. Now, in hindsight, I can listen to the Beatles and really appreciate it. But whenever I was a kid, I wanted to listen to Kiss and AC/DC. I didn't want a part of the Beatles and Elvis, you know. But as you get older, you really appreciate that music for what it is. But whenever you're a kid, you don't want a part of that, you know.
Totally. Now, back a few years ago, before Ozzy started, you know, ramping up the Black Sabbath stuff again, we heard kind of little talks in the press here and there from Tommy and Gus that maybe there would be another Ozzy solo record. At one point, Tommy even talked about the direction musically of what the record might sound like. Is that still happening, do you think, at some point? Is there still another solo record in Ozzy?
Man, you know what? I'm the bass player, and to be honest, I'm the second to last to know anything. So, I mean, of course, we would hope that there's another opportunity for us to make a record and go and support it. But, you know, that's up to the bosses. You know, that's up to the people in charge. I'm available to do it and would love to do it, but it's not up to me, you know. So who knows?
Right on. Cool. And any other things you're doing musically right now? I know you were doing some dates with Zach where you were going out and playing Sabbath songs. Anything else going on?
No, I mean, Zach and I have this little thing called Zach Sabbath that we just, you know, we pull together a drummer and we do it as like a power trio, and we just play all Sabbath songs with extended guitar solos in them. And it's really fun to do. His schedule is so busy, we don't really get an opportunity to do it very often, but that's really the only musical project I have. I mean, it's like, because I'm just so busy with the management company that I really don't even honestly think about playing music. Like, honestly, I don't even have a bass at my house.
Wow.
Like whenever there's a gig, you know, like they let us know enough in advance to where I can go dust it off and you know, run through Crazy Train and Paranoid, and I'm good to go, you know?
Yeah, right on.
So, I'm not so involved in the musical side anymore. I kind of put that effort towards the younger bands that I manage.
Very good. Well, Blasco, thanks so much for talking with us today. And we will link to, you got a website or official Facebook or anything we can link to in the show notes for today's episode?
I got a Facebook, but I don't do anything with it. But I'm probably most active on Instagram, but you know, if you want to look at pictures of my cats, that's about all I do on there. However, but my social media is pretty easy. It's Blasco1313, and that's my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Instagram. So if you type that in, you can link to all that.
Very good. Thanks so much, man. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, Mark, appreciate it.
Friends close, but your enemies closer. I'm another breed. Watch out, watch me. I'm your new best friend. I am what you want me to be. Why can't you take what you give to me? We'll be right back.
What you just heard was Hand of the Enemy. That's off Ozzy's Scream record, which was released back in 2010. Before that, we heard my interview with Blasco. Big special thanks to him for calling into Talking Metal and explaining management to us, at least his style of management. I thought that was kind of cool to hear about that. And yeah, I mean, always great to have Blasco on the show. He's been on at least two times, possibly three in the past. I'm not sure. I'd have to check that. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we have an interview with Gumby from Battlecross. Now, Battlecross will be up at Heavy Montreal, which is a festival going on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of August, coming up real soon in Montreal. Please get yourself up there. This festival is incredible. So many great bands will be playing. And I tell you, I cannot wait to see Battlecross play there. So many awesome bands playing. So Pentagram, unfortunately, is not going to be playing. I'm told they had to cancel due to issues with Bobby's visa. So that's unfortunate. If you're hearing kids yelling in the background, there is currently four kids, including my two little devils, running around here with their friends, and I'm trying to bang out a podcast here on a Saturday, and this is like my third attempt, but I'm just going for it, and you probably don't even hear much of it in the background, but I'm hearing it. Anyways, coming up on an upcoming episode, we have Nadia from Cold Chamber checking in with us, the beautiful hot lady from Cold Chamber who plays bass. She will be joining us on an upcoming episode, so stay tuned for that. And also, don't miss Cold Chamber at Heavy Montreal. I cannot wait to check them out. Again, Battlecross. Interview with Gumby coming up in just a bit, another band that's on Heavy Montreal this year. Mitch LaFon and I will be up at Heavy Montreal hanging out. If you see us, please come up and say hello. Speaking of Mitch LaFon, he and I do a podcast together with another Mitch named Mitch Joel. And Mitch Joel's like this guy. He does numerous podcasts and writes books and does talks, those TED Talks things. He's the real deal, and he hosts this show, co-hosts the show with Mitch LaFon and myself. It's called Metal Raps, and I put a few of them out over the Talking Metal stream, some of the like first nine episodes or something. I think I'm going to go back to doing that because I just feel like my website's all messed up at this point. And until I can get Metal Raps placed properly on Talking Metal, I may start throwing them out over the Talking Metal stream. If you don't like them, don't listen to them. And if you only like them, then and you don't like the regular Talking Metal episodes, just go to iTunes and subscribe to the Metal Raps feed, which is, you know, its own individual feed, if that makes sense. Speaking of the site, you know, I got Mars Attacks, Talking Rock, Mitch LaFon's One-on-One with Mitch LaFon, and Talking Metal all on the site. Those four shows, when I initially conceived Talking Metal Digital, you know, a year or two ago, probably closer to 2 years ago at this point, those were the shows on the Talking Metal Digital Network, if you will. Since then, we've had a lot of other shows kind of approach us. Even recently, I had another show approach me, and they were like, can I get on the network, the Talking Metal Digital Network? Guys, I'm so fucking busy. I mean, Talking Rock's dead. I haven't done a Talking Rock episode in forever. I'm doing this by myself now. John, obviously, is not involved whatsoever, really. He's welcome. There's an open door for him to come back. But I haven't spoken with the guy. I mean, I spoke with him once since the Ace gig in October, I think that was. And that was when Ace came by that metal show. I was working on that metal show, season 14. So when John brought Ace by that metal show, that's really the only time I've spoken with John. Maybe a handful of text messages back and forth. But yeah, it's weird, man. The guy was my one of my best friends since 1987, and I feel like he's fallen off the face of the earth. So, and I'm not the only one. Other people have said that too. So we hope John's well, and we hope he, you know, will consider coming back to Talking Metal at some point. I know he works three jobs, so it's tough. And Honestly, I'm having a blast just doing this, kind of spearheading this myself, which has kind of been the direction it's been going for the past 5 years anyways. So it's not like he suddenly disappeared from the podcast. I think it was, you know, since 2009, he's kind of slowly been, you know, doing less and less on the podcast. And at this point, he's doing nothing. So, and listen, that's, I get it. I don't know. I just wish if he didn't want to do it, he could just be like, yeah, I quit. But I don't think he wants to quit. I think he, you know, from when I spoke with him back in April or whenever that was that I saw him at that metal show with Ace, he seemed like he wanted to eventually get back into the fold. Now, having said that, I'm doing this really on my own. Mitch LaFond does a great show, and he's you know, contributing greatly, and I love his show, and there's been some great stuff that has happened to me since having his show on the network, and I really appreciate everything he's doing. But I got to scale back, and I'm probably going to remove Talking Rock and Victor Ruiz's as Mars Attacks from the talkingmetal.com page, just because I just don't have time. And, you know, I'm sure you're like, well, how much time does it take to post a episode from Victor? Yeah, it takes me like 20-30 minutes, you know, to do the web work, and it's just, at this point, I know people don't believe it, but 30 minutes is so valuable to me. Again, I don't even have metal wraps up on the show, on the website, that I just can't do it anymore. And I'm sorry. And I've had literally three other shows approach me that really want to be a part of the network. I can't even do Victor right, guys. So, you know, there's no way I can add any other shows, and I'm scaling back. So as of right now, Talking Metal Digital, whatever that is or isn't at this point, is really just going to be the two shows, Talking Metal and One-on-One with Mitch LaFond. You know, again, there's been a lot of great stuff that has happened to me because of associating myself with Mitch LaFond, and I think his show's great, and he has a great interview style, and I'm going to just be working with him exclusively right now. Victor Ruiz from Mars Attacks, he's done a great job with his show. If you want to hear the show, you can get it in so many other places. You know, his website, MarsAttacksRadio.com, you can get it on Spreaker. He has his own Spreaker page. He has his own iTunes feed. So go subscribe to it there. And I love Victor, and I hope that he will still occasionally come on Talking Metal as a co-host. He is a very knowledgeable guy. He has a great show. And the fact that eventually, it might be another year before I do the web work, but eventually Mars Attacks is going to disappear from Talking Metal Digital is has nothing to do with the quality of his program or anything like that. It's just not right now worth 30 minutes of my time to be putting it on the site, because I don't have that time. I really don't. There's so much going on in my life right now. I'm in school, learning editing. I'm trying to still stay in that metal show fold. I'm doing Talking Metal. I'm helping Mitch with his show. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Plus, I got a family and, you know, two little kids, a 4 and a 6-year-old, who you may have heard in the background here, along with their two friends. So it's just been a little nutty. So I just wanted to put that out there. But definitely, you know, if you like Victor's show, please go subscribe to it. I honestly don't think too many of you guys got it through TalkingMetal.com anyways. I think most people probably get it through the iTunes feed or directly from his site. But on the outside chance that you did, you know where to go. iTunes, search Mars Attacks Podcast or Mars attacksradio.com or Spreaker or wherever. I think he's all over the place. And I wish him the best of luck. And Victor, I definitely will be listening to Mars Attacks, and I really hope you come back on Talking Metal, dude, if you're listening to this. All right, so on to my interview with Gumby, the vocalist of Battlecross. Cannot wait to see these guys at Heavy Montreal. This is new Battlecross, a little sound sample. It's called Spoiled. Hey, Gumby, how are you?
Living the dream.
Cool, cool. Mark from Talking Metal, obviously from New Jersey.
On
the line, we have Gumby from the band Battlecross, and you are currently driving around Flint, Michigan, huh?
Yeah. Got to run some errands.
Right on. Well, thanks for checking in with us. We're really excited to check you guys out at Heavy Montreal coming up in August. And have you guys done Heavy Montreal before?
Yeah, we did once. We were like a late add-on when we were on the Trespass America tour with Five Finger Death Punch and Killswitch Engage. They were like, oh, well, you're with the tour. Come by, we'll put you in a spot. So they were like, yeah, you're going to headline the Apocalypse stage. Oh, got that. You're going to headline the Apocalypse stage, and you'll be playing the same time as System of a Down.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So we're like, cool, thanks. But they treated us like rock stars, because they treated us like headliners. We like got like the nice trailer, and we were like, are you sure we're supposed to have this?
Yeah.
And, like, the catering was amazing. So they're like, yeah, just eat as much food as you want, and then we'll see you about 9 o'clock.
Right on, right on. Well, there's a lot of great bands playing with you guys this year. There is Lamb of God, Slipknot, to name a few, Cold Chamber. And speaking of Slipknot, you guys are going to be doing Knotfest, right?
Yeah, Knotfest in October. So that's in Sacramento, California, right? Or
I think it sounds right. It sounds right. Was Slipknot a big influence on you guys?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, when Slipknot came out, I was one of them kids that just lived and ate Slipknot, but yeah, they were huge on me. But I don't know about the rest of the guys. I can't speak for them, but I can say for myself, yeah.
Very cool. And let's talk about Battlecross. You guys have a new single out, right? And the new album is on the way. When can we expect that?
August 21st, we release it from Metal Blade Records. We're doing a couple of shows around the Midwest before we go out with Guar. You know, just a couple of home shows, you know, Chicago, Ohio. So we're going to be doing a couple of little shows with us and a couple of other bands. I think Yesterday Saints is going to be with us for a couple of days, and Crimson Shadows were going to be on it, but they, got a different tour. So we were like, hey, do the tour, man. Congratulations.
Right. Cool. So is there a replacement for them then?
We're supposed to have a meeting Wednesday, so we're going to figure all that crap out. But, you know, we'll probably just, you know, add on maybe a local or something, or, you know, try to see what other, you know, bands need help on a, you know, a show, because shows are nice to play.
Yeah, definitely. Well, circling back to the new record, which is coming out on Metal Blade Records, what can we expect with this? Are you guys heading in a different direction musically? Can we expect it to be kind of more of the same? How would you describe it musically?
You can expect it to be, you know, a little more refined, you know, like not like, it's just the evolution of Battlecross. We didn't try to like slow it down or speed it up. We just wrote the song. So we got heavy songs on there. We got thrash songs on there. We got, you know, every song sounds different on the album, which I thoroughly enjoy, because, you know, you listen to so many bands, you're like, hey, doesn't that song kind of sound like the other song or that other song as well? You know, there's none of that on the album. It's, you know, it's not different Battlecross. I just think it's Battlecross, honestly, from all that I've listened to it. You know, it's not heavier, it's not softer, it's just Battlecross. It's what we do.
Right on. And the album is Rise to Power, again, coming out August 21st on Metal Blade Records. Let's talk about the band lineup. You guys fairly recently added a new member to the fold, right?
Yeah. We went through a slew of veterans, and we've settled on our young Mr. Alex Bent. He is from California, the Bay Area, and he's just a 22-year-old, you know, all he does is live, breathe drums. So that's awesome to get a kid that's that hungry. I mean, we've had Kevin Talley, we've had Chan Lucas on the last album, we've had Adam Pierce from All Shall Perish and Amir. And we've used once Hose Down from Fit for an Autopsy. So we've had some drummers behind us.
Yeah, and will Alex be on the new record? Is he?
Oh yeah, he is on. He's on the new record. He put his own flavor on the new record, and yeah, that's another thing you can expect from the new album. Like Alex is gonna, you know, he got some awesome drum parts in there. He put a lot of his own flair on it. So, I mean, I'm excited for people to hear, you know, Alex doing his part in Battlecross. You know, this is what Battlecross is going to sound like from here on.
Right on. Going back to your younger years, who are some of the, you know, we mentioned Slipknot earlier, but who are some of the other bands that drew you to music and, you know, made you want to make this your thing, your career?
Oh, man. I'd say Metallica. You know, they got, everybody loves Metallica.
Absolutely.
I'll say Slayer, Lamb of God. I love Deftones. God, I love Mudvayne.
Right.
Let's see. I feel you asked this question so many times. Crap.
Well,
just drawing a blank right now.
No, that's cool. I mean, that's a pretty, like, you know, you're going from Lamb of God to Deftones. It's pretty wide variety, sound wise. Oh, yeah. Are you a guy who's open to a lot of different styles musically?
Oh yeah, man. I was raised on country. I mean, like Hank Sr. That right there is my jam.
Wow. Cool.
But yeah, no, I've been raised with everything. You know, I wasn't allowed to listen to music as a kid.
Really? You weren't allowed to listen to it?
No. Like, I could listen to country with my grandpa, but that was about it.
Wow. Wow. Did that make you even want it more?
I guess. Like, yeah. I mean, my mom was an R&B chick. You know, that was the only real, you know, access I had to music as a kid. Like, my sister, like, she was the first one that showed me Metallica 1 in my parents' room while she was babysitting me. You know, that's how I heard metal for the first time.
Wow. And how do your parents feel about what you're up to with Battlecross? Are they supportive of nowadays?
Supportive now.
Yeah.
Yeah, after my mom and dad divorced, that was like I got to live a little better, you know, a little more freedom musically. But, you know, now my dad, he's a Bible-thumping Christian, and he's always been supportive of me. So it's nice, you know, I don't have that, get out of here, boy, if you're going to play that devil music.
Right.
You know, he's accepting of what I do now because I take care of business, and he brought up a well-adjusted individual, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of these bands that you're mentioning, you know, Lamb of God, for example, you're obviously at Heavy Montreal going to be at the same festival with them and many others who were influential on you. Do you ever get a chance to meet these guys that you know, you've been fans of, and are they generally pretty cool guys?
Yeah, definitely. Killswitch Engage, when I started playing in bands, like, that's when Killswitch dropped, and I was a huge Killswitch fan, and when we met them for the first time, like when we were on Trespass America, they were completely cool to me, and they had no idea who I was, and I was just, you know, I was the first band on, and, you know, they didn't treat us like crap, so, and then traveling the world with them, they, you know, they'll come out to shows, they're awesome dudes, like, they just welcome us with open arms, and that's, like, been the coolest thing that I've, you know, ran into, like, some of the bands that we meet. Oh, James Hetfield of Metallica.
Oh, wow.
We got to meet him at Orion Fest when we played with him. We did a small concert. We did a small press conference with him. And they were just cool as shit. And, like, I remember, like, in the press conference, James Hetfield, like, looked over at me and was like, I don't know how this guy talks. And, like, in my head, there was, like, holy shit, James Hetfield just talked to me. Holy shit, James Hetfield has heard me sing. Holy shit. Right. What do I say now? I offered to do the singing lesson. I was like, you want a screaming lesson? Just being a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, make a conversation. And he was just, he just chuckled it off and took it, you know, as the joke I meant it to be. And it was amazing. And he came out like a half hour before. We went on and just hung out with us. Like, I was like, I even asked him, I was like, shouldn't you be doing something more important than this? He's like, no, man, I came to hang out. So that, like, floored me that he took the time out to just come over and, you know, bring us on stage and be cool with us. Like, he had no reason to do any of the stuff he did, and he just did it because he wanted to do it. That was insane.
It's awesome. It's always cool to hear stuff like
still
that.
I can't wrap my head around it, and it's 2 years later.
Right on. Cool. Well, again, I will be there at Heavy Montreal. Please come by the press tent, hang out with us, say hello, maybe do another interview. We'll be doing live broadcast from the press tent there at Heavy Montreal. You guys are on the 8th, which is a great day. The Agonist, Dying Fetus, Def Heaven is playing, Devin Townsend, Lita Ford, Rocket from the Crypt. We're all over the place. Testament, Iggy Pop, Faith No More, and many, many others. So it's going to be a great day of just loud music in general, and I will be there watching you guys in Battlecross play.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks.
Cool. And what song do you want me to play for the Talking Metal listeners to take us out here, Gumby?
Not Your Slave or Spoiled. You know, want something off of the new one. You gotta hype that.
Cool.
Rise to Power.
Not Your Slave, the first single, right?
Yep.
Let's do it.
You've killed yourself. words and their creator. Deception controlling your fate. Manipulated like a pain. Forever this will carry on.
I'm not your slave. I refuse to be a part of this. You're fabricated.
What you just heard was Not Your Slave by Battlecross. You can buy both the songs Spoiled and Not Your Slave on iTunes now. Go do it. Support these guys. Support Battlecross by also showing up to Heavy Montreal and checking them out live. Good stuff. That's going to do it for today, guys. I really, as always, appreciate you listening to me and sticking with me for almost 10 years. I don't know that I'm going to do a big celebration for the 10-year anniversary. It's just we did a big episode 500. Maybe we'll do something for episode 666 or something. But I don't know. I'll try to acknowledge it, but it's like, you know, you can always go back and listen to the first episode and do a little celebration on your own if you want. You know, it is interesting that first episode, you know, I started it solo. John Astronomy was the guest on the first episode. And he definitely helped me with setting up the RSS feed, but it wasn't probably until 9 or 10 episodes in that he actually officially became a co-host of Talking Metal. And wow, it was a great run. You know, I listened back to some of those older episodes with him, and not everyone loved John, but more people liked him than disliked him, and there was a great chemistry there at times. It was definitely a different show than what Talking Metal has become now, and that's all right. You know, the show is evolving, I hope. Maybe some people think it's not evolving, going backwards, devolving. I don't know what the opposite of evolve is. But I miss him. I really do. I miss John Astronomy, and not only just doing the podcast with him, but I miss hanging out and talking with the guy. So that's that. And it's a new chapter. I really feel like going into this 10th year, it's a new chapter in what I'm doing here. And I'm excited to see where Talking Metal goes next. I really don't know where. But it's going to keep going, I can promise you that. Take care, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.